Live, we're broadcasting. Good morning to those of you here and there in TV land. Where are we? Coming to you live from a south-facing place on a long and craggy, rugged coastline where the cold blue waters of the Pacific come racing up the beach to tickle the feet of the gulls and send them cackling into the air where the wind holds them aloft and motionless like alabaster statues. Where could that be? Only one place. Morro Bay, California, and if by now you haven't guessed, that would make this the May 2007 edition of the Morro Bay Community Promotions Committee. Welcome. Thank you.
I wish you would have got that job now.
I only wax poetic because I don't wax the car, but because I recently had a visitor to town, Ms. Diane Wilson, our Texas friend, who was a guest here for Earth Day for several days, and she lives on the Gulf Coast of Texas, and she's been here only once before for a night, and she stayed at my place for about 4 days, and every morning she gets up at 5 because she's a fisherwoman, shrimper, and she'd have 5 cups of coffee, and I'd get up more like 8, and I'd find her sitting in my living room window with the shades and the blinds open, just staring at the rock. She would watch the sun come up over it, and in the afternoon I would find her there with what was left of my bottle of two-buck chuck from Trader Joe's, watching the sun set over that rock. And I thought, well, after 4 days, if a woman who's practically on the verge of being nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize can sit and stare at the rock, there must be something there. And I began to realize it was only because this past Monday marked the 6th anniversary of the day I moved to Morro Bay. Only after those 6 years, it was the presence of someone else who stared at that rock day and night that I began to realize there must be something here that I've either grown jaded about or just not attuned to anymore. And it's nothing like having the eyes of someone from outside to come and make you really appreciate something that you all might take for granted. And that's something I think that matters a lot, of course, to the Promotions Committee, because trying to stay fresh and new and keeping what's special about the city alive is sort of what we're here to do. So I apologize for digressing on that bit of rumination. But there we have it. And we begin this morning's meeting, calling to order. I noticed that all are present, including Mr. Hendricks. You missed the intro. You can catch it on the replay later. Thanks very much. So all are present. We have people live in our audience. Doesn't it give it a little bit of like sort of a Regis Kathy Lee feeling? We're here in the morning. It's 8 o'clock. Why not? And I see people sitting. So why not? Public comment for those who are here today. Any public comment? All right. Believe me, it's not.
I am here asking this committee to assist with the promotion and advertising costs that will target the Bakersfield and Fresno areas regarding this event. I have reason to believe that if we saturate these two target areas, the people will come, especially on Saturday. Special events are definitely a venue to restore financial health in businesses and the community coffers. But it is my strong belief if we don't market these special events through advertising, we defeat our purpose. Captain Cook's has made a special financial investment in merchandise. For this event, we will be participating at the park. I'm asking that you partner up with not only Captain Cook, but the community as a whole. I was in hope that Steve and Carla would be present for this meeting. I apologize that I have not made direct contact with them regarding their campaign or marketing campaigns and advertising. I do have a son at Cal State Bakersfield, and we're originally from Bakersfield, and no one has heard about this event. Chamber has posted this on their website. The California Fire Muster Association has this posted on their website. I want to target spectators. I believe that there will be quite a few fire departments participating in the event, but it's the spectators that we want brought to the community. So I have given a list here of all media outlets in the Bakersfield area. I'm sorry I don't have the ones for Fresno. And I thank you in advance for your support in this matter.
I think regarding the advertising and stuff, I think that's something that Mr. Sorgenfrey could perhaps address later when we get there and we discuss what the outreach has been and where we target our Fresno and Bakersfield stuff when we get to the advertising.
Yeah, I wanted to, if I could, make a comment to Stacy, and that's that part of the problem is that this was it was somewhat late in getting completely organized to where we could do a bang up job of promoting. The posters were just, they've only been out for about two, three weeks. And so we got it on our on the Chamber's visitor website right away, as soon as we knew about the event, and I know that we've added to that. However, because of our market.
I can comment if you'd like. I mean, it's not only that it's spoken for, it's been spent, because we're really at the end of our budget. And what we will try to do, and what we did with the Kite Festival, which in some ways can be much more effective than print advertising, and is to try to do some public relations and try to get press over in those areas. With the Kite Festival and also with the Jazz Festival, we still had remaining media that we could incorporate, you know, those events. I'm not saying that we won't do anything, but the reality is that the money has to be spent by this time, or we lose it. So, unfortunately, there's not a huge sum of money that we can run ads in the Fresno Bee and the Bakersfield Californian and radio and television. unfortunately, even if we were at the start of our budget, you know, we don't really have the kind of funds that we can spend on each individual event. That's one thing that's difficult about events, because they all require marketing support and media. And but I feel confident that we can put the word out over there. In the Valley, we have a lot of partners over there. I have a lot of clients that I spend money over there for, and in some ways, again, that if we can get the Bakersfield California to write a story on us, that's going to be, you know, even more effective than an ad. But I'll look at the budget and see what we have, and I'd be interested to know what other outreach you guys are doing. Maybe we can, you know, piggyback on that and help some to some degree.
Well. What brings something to my attention is then I want to approach this committee on budgeting for future events then in your budget for events like this. So to set aside funds for last minute events. As I said before, we can have all the events we want in this town, and if we don't get the people, then, you know.
Well, again, I think it's, to be fair, I think it's really about timing in that we have this last year, and I agree with you, I think it is important, and we did budget. We had a budget set aside for public relations, and it's too bad that Peter's not here, because I know he would you know, echo the fact that that's been real helpful to the Chamber, because we've been able to help them with posters, press releases, helping them secure some contracts with the different newspapers, providing that. And that's something that I think as we approach next year, we'll look at trying to, you know, enhance that. It's really all about, truthfully, about timing. But again, I'd be do everything I can to promote it through public relations.
But we'll come.
Again, we don't have the money to saturate it, other than if we do public relations. But
I was just going to make one more comment, and that I talked to Carla here a few weeks ago, and just to let you know that our goal in our business was to try to do the best we could to make the probably several hundred people that are coming to participate in the event, try to make them as just as happy as we possibly can so they come back next year. And when they do, that's how events start to grow. And it's just like the Kite Festival. The more people that learn about it through being here and experiencing it, the larger it's going to grow. And so while promotion is really important in this case, because you have so many firemen coming from all over the state to participate, I think one of our goals should be able to extend the hospitality that we can offer them to make them want to come back next year. And it is the first sanctioned event of their, I guess, their series of events for the year. So they had a choice of going to, it was somewhere pretty desolate, or come to Morro Bay, and so from what I understand, there's going to be quite a few people participating in it. So we hope to show them a good time, which should help everybody too, just having them be here.
I appreciate that.
Sure.
Thank you.
Please don't lose heart. I mean, I think that we can do a good job through getting the papers to write, you know, stories about the upcoming event. If there's pictures, any pictures of, like, I know we haven't had this, you know, in 20 years.
Correct.
But if there's pictures that I can, you know, send them. It's really about getting me, and I know Bob has sent me a press release on all the details, so I do have that. But as much information as you can give me that I can sell it to the press, you know, there is still a way to saturate that market through using, you know, public relations as opposed to placing the ads. So I'm confident we'll get some coverage over there.
Right, and especially because also the proceeds go to this Byrne Foundation. So I think there's an avenue there
sure,
of free
absolutely.
Advertising if we, again, if we make the contact.
Well, I assure you we'll do everything we can to get the exposure.
Thank you very much.
We have Joe. Take a number. There's no waiting here.
Good morning. I'm Greg Hummer, Travel Coupon Guide, and basically just following up on our ad we did in our publication. Of course, we just went out 1 month, and the new issue is hitting the streets, I think, last week and this week. So just wanted any comments, pro, con, indifferent, any comments that you'd like to make, anybody, about the promotion we did?
Have we had any tracking on that individual
issues and try to get some actual feedback on number of the coupons that were actually used?
Okay.
Plus, we'll be able to track the separate 800 number that we have for just this, and also take a look at the web stats over that couple month
yeah.
period compared to last year. That'll be a little bit harder to track because of all the other stuff we're
yeah.
doing separate, but.
But basically, are we happy with the you know the front page and the picture yeah. and how that came out?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Good. Yep.
Absolutely. Okay. Good. Yeah. Like I said, just following up, and if it's something that you know you'd like to use in the future, of course, we can't give you the front page every month. But, we can.
Hey, 11 out of 12 will be
yeah,
fine.
Yeah. Okay. It'd be fine. Maybe inside front and something that you know we can advertise. Maybe events in the future and use it as a tool like that. Just let me know. And any comments whatsoever? Okay.
All right.
Great.
And thank
much.
You so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Greg.
Any other public comment this morning? No, just a visitor in the audience. All right. We have had our public comment. Moving ahead to the approval of the minutes from the last meeting. Any comments, notes on the preceding minutes?
Okay. Are you here in Peter's stead?
Yes,
you want
oh.
you why don't you come
oh,
up
sorry.
Here? You can come up and join us.
Oh, there you go.
There's a seat over there.
Sit by John. Thank you. I'm sorry. I should have said something to you.
On that side.
Yeah. You notice they didn't leave any room at their table for a chair.
A correction on the members present. I was here. It does say no members absent, but it doesn't have my name.
Oh, all right.
It has Ann Reed.
There we go.
That's the problem.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, there was another one here.
All right, let us note that.
And in
section E, the website subcommittee,
yeah.
We really couldn't have a meeting because we didn't have a committee at that time. And that website subcommittee did not meet between full committee meetings or something. We didn't have a committee at that particular time.
I also think under Section E, Bill, that you nominated me. Kathy was already on the committee, as I understand it, and the motion wasn't seconded by me because I just think it's backwards.
I think you're right, Ed. Because you were the one that was nominated.
That's right.
So
I
couldn't possibly have seconded it.
Right.
Or you didn't.
No, I think Kathy was already on the committee. So I think you were the one.
We have approved the minutes. We move along. I guess we have a substitute visitor center.
Yeah.
Well, no substitute. Everyone
okay.
is.
Let me introduce myself. My name is Kevin Klipfel. I'm the new events director for the chamber. Took over about 6 weeks ago now. Peter's on a well-deserved vacation this week, so he asked me to step in for him. Apparently, he was in Catalina yesterday having a great time seeing the effects of the fire. In fact, he called me on Tuesday and said that he and his wife didn't realize how exhausted they were, but they fell asleep at 8:30 that night and woke up at 11:30 the next morning. So to let you know how much effort he's been putting in, he's asked me to cover the phone number and the website stats for him. So if we look there on the first page, the April 800 number calls, we had a total of 167. Down or actually up 37% from April the year prior. Out of state was down to 26, which was down 46% from the year prior. The two new numbers that we have, the 6815 We got zero, which was only down from one the month before. The 6816 number actually doubled. We got 10 in-state and 4 out-of-state, so that was up, you know, 200% from the first month, I believe, which was March, that we even had those numbers available.
What number does that reference, Kevin? The second number with the 26?
That's the number in the Southern California.
No, well, the 26 is the out-of-state calls.
No, the 800 number, the actual 800 number.
The difference between the two phone numbers, obviously the 6815 is the number that's in the travel coupon guide that we got.
That's the one that's getting the results.
No.
No.
6816 is the one that's getting the results.
Wasn't that the Southern California Calabasas?
Yes. I believe so.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I want to know. Thank you.
Okay.
An explanation real quick, if I could, and I'm, again, not no defense necessary, but I just think an explanation for those people that are familiar with the coupon guides. They typically don't generate a lot of phone calls, and especially to a visitor center. The phone calls would take place probably to the properties and lodging that's in the book, and that because most of the people that use this are on the road traveling. So rather than call a visitor center, they'll just, you know, look up. But we thought that you know, if we're going to do this, that adding that other
1,402. Just slightly above the year before. Our total promotional mailings, I won't go through every single number there, but basically we had a total of 673, which again was almost even. We don't have numbers there for the year prior, but almost even with the month before in March. We do have a couple of new items listing there, the Birders World and Travel and Leisure. I don't believe we had any ads in those magazines the month prior, and we seemed to get very strong response out of both of those. So that was a nice positive. As far as the website goes, 16,528 sessions, 76,847 page views, and 751,431 hits. So as you can see from April of 06, the numbers are increasing rather radically, actually. The most viewed page that we had is still Plan a Trip. That seems to be people go to the website, they look at the web camera, and then they try to plan their activities and where they'd like to stay and that type of thing. So Peter wanted me to touch just briefly on a couple of events we've held since your last meeting. We had a very successful kite festival, where we donated almost 800 kites free to children who showed up, made it a very successful event. We filled the beach from the rock out to the creek. The Harbor Patrol people told us they'd never seen so many people on the beach before. The professional kiters who were invited told us that Saturday was a day they live for. They could put all their large kites up in the air and go and do whatever they wanted to do, and they just stayed there perfectly. So that was a very successful event. We just had the Jazz and Blues Rock Morovay. The event ran very smooth. We would definitely like to see more people attend next year. But other than that, the talent was excellent, and everybody seemed to have a very good time, even though the wind was a little strong. This weekend, Peter and myself, after he returns from his vacation, are driving to Menlo Park. We're attending the Sunset Magazine travel show, which will have 24,000 roughly people interested in seeing different parts of the country visit our booth, and we'll get the word out on Saturday. So we did the golf tournament the first day. We didn't have much time for Peter to get word out on that, but the car show is actually its own committee.
Does any numbers yet approximately on the attendance at the Kite Festival?
The Kite Festival, well, everybody, you know, comes up with their own numbers, and if you don't really have a good overhead photo where you can count heads, I've heard numbers as high as 4,000. The hotels apparently were full. The restaurants were doing very well that luncheon and evening, especially on Saturday. Sunday was a calmer, more family day. We had a lot of families out just coming out to fly kites. So a very good turnout. It was beyond what we expected for a first event, so we were very happy with it.
What about the Jazz Festival? Do you have any numbers on that?
The Jazz Festival numbers, if you know, I was there the whole day, I would have to estimate probably somewhere in the paid attendance, probably in the 300 range. A large majority of those, of course, were Founders Circle members from the year before. We definitely had a crunch on our advertising going into the event. We had fantastic talent. We did sell tickets as far away as San Ramon and LA area. But we definitely didn't have, for whatever reason, again, I'm new to the chamber, it needed to start sooner. The word needed to get out. I don't know, you know, what issues led to that, but we should have had many more people there. The facility can hold up to 1,500 people the way we had it set up. So it was a little light on attendance.
One thing that might help is scheduling of these events. I think they were all wonderful events. Definitely. And whoever planned the weather deserves big praise. It was fabulous weather for those weekends. But I had some customers in the shop who felt that too many things happening, you know, 3 weekends in a row, we had wonderful events, and especially the people coming from Bakersfield and Fresno. They will come every other weekend. Coming every weekend is a bit much. So if we can schedule things out just a little more, I think we might get more people there. I talked to people at the car show, which was a huge weekend for us, and mentioned the Jazz Festival and suggested coming back, but that was a hardship for a lot of people. So,
if I may, I think that's a really good point, and it also is true for the media, because it's like we had good support from the Tribune for the Kite Festival, but then again, to go back to...
I'll leave to the people that do that, but I have a little bit different take on it, in that the folks that say come to the car show might be a different audience that would come to a jazz festival, that would be a different audience that would come to a kite festival, that would be a different audience that comes to a fire muster. And I just think that there's a lot of people out there in the world that would come to Morro Bay for a variety of reasons, and that we shouldn't not do this for the sake of getting the same people here for all four events, if that's what happens.
I would agree with that. I think just in the sense of, I'm looking at it strictly from a media standpoint.
I understand.
And just going to Sergio at the Tribune and saying, you helped us out for the Kite Festival last week. We'd like another 5 free ads, please. You know, it's just, it's tough.
Right, yeah, yep.
But no, I would agree. I think they're entirely different audiences. You know?
Before we move off of this, if I could, I just wanted to comment specifically on the ad response from Sierra Magazine. I was really surprised to see that the number of bingo cards come through from them just in this one deal. So I think that that's a real viable publication for us to be in, and that we should consider it for our upcoming marketing plan.
But I had actually circled myself because I noticed next to Travel and Leisure, you know, and so to speak, the traditional LA Times, this was the biggest one. And I was thinking, what did we put in there? It was only very...
It's just a small travel ad.
Here's my thought on that. We have a year now to go on this. It just seems to me that Sierra Magazine is going to be a place for advertorial, and we just have to figure out which environmental issue without setting of blaze the powers that be in this town. We want Morro Bay to be known for hopefully a good positive one, and see if we can get the coverage in that way. I brought the story, I think, the year before about the fishermen issue. And the idea that I got an email from the mayor about wanting to make a fishing culture kind of thing, and if we come to some accord with fishermen's and marine sanctuaries and it works, that if they actually do get together and work this thing out, it's sort of one of those celebrating things that I'm sure the Sierra writers up in San Francisco would not mind noting.
No, it's a new one that we tried, and I think it makes sense. I mean, I think that Morro Bay has the appeal to those readers that other cities that we compete with does not. And I think that as we approach it next year, maybe going to them directly, they were very friendly about, you know, of course, taking our ads, but also just in you know, being responsive to trying to do anything they could to help us as far as advertorial. But yeah, I think
of the slogan. Yeah, if
I suspect we haven't made a lot of progress. I did pass it on to the city attorney, though.
Okay. So we heard visitor center. Any more information, Kevin?
None, actually. I'd just like to thank you all for your support of the events that we've put on. The Kite Festival obviously was huge. We're looking forward to the 4th of July, and also in late September, the Avocado Margarita Festival that we're holding on September 22nd. So
I'd like to make a comment. The people that participated in the Kite Festival actually came into the Chamber of Commerce office and commented what great facilities and what a great time they had. And I don't ever remember that happening, somebody coming in and saying, gee, we really had a great time at your, in this case, Kite Festival. And then likewise, I sold tickets at the Jazz Festival, and there were just an awful lot of people that bought tickets that are followers of Marcia Ball. And there were some people that had actually seen her last week in New Orleans, and they came from Southern California to follow up on it. And the same way with Aja Vu, there were a lot of people that follow that group too. So it was that's a tough market to get to those people that follow maybe, groups like that.
Maybe part of it is too, because I listen to KCBX, the public radio here, quite a bit. And I now think about it, I listened to the morning Cup of Jazz show and all. I didn't hear much. Usually when they have a concert or something, they'll try and get an interview with the person on the air for that and stuff. Did you have any outreach with
them? Yeah, we sent them the material.
Maybe I have to push a little, maybe make a phone call into KCBX, because they've been friendly to a lot of, I mean, they like getting out of town jazz
people. Well, I spoke with Peter, and I think that at some point we can, probably wouldn't be a bad idea to talk with Bruce Howard, who does the Avila Blues. He's a real nice guy. We really don't compete with him, and I think he would probably have other resources, you know, that we could use as far as websites. I know we did get on a few jazz websites that I'd identified for Peter, and I know we did get placed on those. Because I think that we can make this event into something. We actually had pretty decent coverage for it, though, I hate to say, because we had, you know, we were able to incorporate some ads over in Bakersfield and Fresno, because we did have some still.
There is for Dixieland, I think, but I don't know about.
Now, we were actually on the same one, and the only reason that I found it was I just Googled the Avila Blues Festival, and then I was able to find this website where there was a listing of all the different jazz events, and we did get placed on that. Pretty late, though.
I think that you hit the nail on the head, John. I think that that's the problem with the Jazz Festival is I felt like I saw posters all over San Luis. I heard Peter on Coast 101.3 in the morning. I mean, I think that the coverage was good. It was just way too late. And if you can, I believe with events, if you can establish a date and then do it the exact same date every year, the third weekend in May or whatever you're doing, that then it's going to be more successful. And then you can target those people, like Ed's saying, who are going to come to a jazz festival but aren't going to come to a kite festival. So when you get that and you get that exposure, it's just, I mean, in my opinion with events, you know, a lot, we had a big push, I think, the week before the event, but I just think that wasn't enough time.
Well, I think the weather has a factor, too, because I've gone to the one in Avila before, and although they're always, you know, successful, they're the difference between a really sunny, warm day and a cold, foggy day makes the difference at the gate, because people go there really to party. You know, I mean, it's a big party, too, and you don't feel like being in your Hawaiian shirt and, you know, when it's, you know, 60 or 50 degrees out, but when it's when they get the Santa Ana winds and it's 80 degrees, I mean, the people show up. And I think that probably was another factor. I think if we'd have had just a really nice warm day, because I know it was cold.
Actually, yeah, the street was fairly full around 11 o'clock, and we were getting a lot of looky-loos, and then the wind picked up, and Embarcadero cleared out pretty well. And ticket sales just died after that, so definitely a factor.
Hard to predict. Is it an event whose date maybe should be moved then later when there's a chance that...
No, you mean you can guarantee that it'll be foggy and cold?
Yeah.
I think, too, that venue's really important. I mean, I didn't get a chance to go down and check out the Jazz Festival, but it sounded like it was really open to the elements. And, you know, I mean, I think that venue is so important, and that's one of the things we're lacking here in Morro Bay, is a really great venue.
I think that comes under the discussion of cool cities, if I'm not mistaken. And that would be found there. Well, then in that case, thank you, Kevin. You're welcome to stay or depart, as is. Take notes for Peter, whatever you'd like. And We would move on to the budget report. Take a look at
Mr. Chairman.
Peter, notwithstanding proposed parking master plan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Good morning. And,
committee members, good morning. I'm Bruce Sambo. I'm the Public Services Director.
Did you have a good time at the Jazz Festival?
Yes, I did. And I agree with all the observations. When the wind picked up, it made a big difference. But it was a great event, and the music was outstanding. But with me today, I have Mike Prater, our planning manager, and Rachel Grossman, our associate planner. If you folks haven't met them before, you have now. They were part of the team that worked on the parking management plan with the city engineer and the capital projects manager. And just would like to introduce you to them. And they did most of the heavy lifting in getting this project through the process and near completion. But just to back up and give you a little background, the city's been kind of grappling with the issue of parking management for years, and this question of what are we going to do? You know, do we have a problem? What's the extent of the problem? And it's probably come through your committee at one time or another, one of these parking-related issues. So the council decided to try to tie all this up and develop a parking management plan to hopefully, you know, get a grasp of the entire issue of parking and hopefully develop some framework to work from and get a better handle on the parking situation. So that's how we got going with the parking management plan. And then so that started, I think, about a year ago when they gave us the authorization, and we've been working with the consultant developing this document. But before I go any further, if folks are interested in reviewing the document, it's available at the Public Services Department, at the library. You can also make a copy if you'd like to get one from Mills Reap Graphics. They have a disc, and you can get one made yourself. Or if you just want to kind of look at the document, it's available on the city website, too. If you want to look at it, print pieces of it, it's available there, too. And in the process, we're going to all the boards and commissions, and I think first Monday in June, we're going to the Planning Commission. Last night, we were at the Public Works Advisory Board, and we're looking to go to the City Council with this at the last meeting in June. So those are kind of the next steps and opening remarks. But the purpose of this study is really to determine the current status of the parking supply and demand, to evaluate the community and develop some partnerships in working through these programs and making these things, making more effective use of these strategies. This is the study boundary that we used. It includes the Embarcadero area and pretty much the main downtown area. Those are the study boundaries of the parking management plan. It does go all the way out to the Rock and extends all the way out to Tidelands Park, too. But in terms of the process where we've been through with this document so far, we did an inventory of the existing parking conditions where we tried to see how much parking supply there is out there. And then we did surveys to see, we did surveys at peak and off-peak hours to get a handle on what the ebb and flow was of parking during our peak and non-peak seasons. And then you may have seen some of these folks running around town counting spaces. We're also looking at the turnover of the parking spaces, how often was there, and you know, when people parked, how long did they park and move along. And then we shared the results of those surveys back in June of 2006 at a public workshop. Then after that, we said, well, these are the results of the survey. We shared that with the community. And then asked the community if they had any suggestions for, you know, our observations, or if they had agreed or disagreed with any of the assessments. And then we went back and tried to develop some strategies for addressing the parking needs. And then we held another workshop in November of 2006 and shared some of the results or some of the strategies that we were looking at in trying to get a better handle on parking, and also asked folks if they had any other suggestions for more effective use of those strategies. And then we keyed it to the financial components of the plan and developed an implementation strategy and developed the draft plan that's been out for review that we're talking about now. Perhaps the most important part of this conclusion, and I hope this isn't a surprise to anybody, is that we only have an isolated parking challenge on a few key blocks, on a few key hours, on a few key days, during a very short 3-month period of time, and occasionally on special events. But the majority of the time, the other 90% of the time, 95% of the time, we don't have any parking problem. We may just critical demand, which is limited to primarily weekends and special events. There is no overall parking supply problem, and that pointed to the need for the more effective use of the parking resources that we have, and that's what we're talking about. Just to give you some idea of the numbers that we're looking at, we have a total amount of parking spaces in that parking study area of about 2,400 spaces. That includes on-street spaces of about 1,057, and then off-street spaces, which include public and private parking lots, of about 1,400. So there's quite a bit of actual parking supply available that we just want to make more effective use of it. But I'll point to the action plan and implementation strategies. There's a number of key components in here that we're looking at that include signage, public information, shared parking, employee parking, expanded trolley service, delivery truck parking, angled parking, pedestrian enhancements, alteration of time limits, public and private partnerships, in-lieu fees, and the concept of green parking. And I'll go into these in a little bit more detail. One of the key observations that they found out was that we don't really have directions for the unfamiliar traveler to get to our parking areas. And so the concept of having more effective signage to help the unfamiliar traveler find these parking areas was a key thing. And just to step back for a moment, the City Council did develop a directional sign program. And you folks may have seen it before. But I've got good news, though. I had a productive meeting with Caltrans, because Ed Biagini and I have been through this with them for what's going on for over a year. But I found out yesterday that they had approved our gateway signs preliminarily, and so at the same meeting, there is funding available for directional signs through the Scenic Byways Committee. So I think we're going to be able to get the funding to the parking areas through that process. And it also comes down to their interpretive signage program. So, you know, we just awarded the contract on the Harbor Walk. So there's an interpretive signage component to that. The NEP has one. The parks folks have one. The city has one on our observations and lookouts. So I think we can integrate the idea of having some kind of a logo or icon that represents the parking areas. And that's when I presented this to the Merchants Committee. Ed Biagini suggested I come to you folks to see if we can work together on some kind of a design concept so that folks can recognize this public parking icon, and then we can integrate it into the signage so folks can see, well, this is where we go to park. And it could include RV parking, disabled handicap parking, all, you know, other kinds of parking, and use that as a supplement to the signage program to help people associate where they can find these areas.
Bruce, if I could ask you real quick, other than, I'm going to guess, designating, say, a public parking lot with a sign that says public parking lot, the directions to that parking lot, won't they be incorporated into your overall directional signage program? They won't be another set of signs that are just for public parking.
Right.
They'll be incorporated into
right.
the whole.
We'd work from the same program.
Right.
Just, yeah, yes. And then part of this is you know, working to make sure that we get this association and folks know that it's all, we're all reading from the same sheet of music. The idea, though, with the signage is to divert folks to the periphery areas in Tidelands Park and then on Front Street, and to try to get folks to, because there's ample parking there, and kind of get them out of the congested areas and make more effective use of the parking on the periphery, because there's ample parking there, and it's in close proximity.
Did the surveys or the data sampling, when you had people in the field doing this, indicate that it people really considered having to walk an extra block or two? Was it suddenly a detriment to their decision to stop or use an establishment because they simply couldn't drive up and find a spot in front? Was there any sort of subjective data on that?
I don't know if they were able to get it. There is also some of the parking you may have to walk up hills or something like that. So that probably goes into the factor. It's tough to get at what drives us and what each of us feels is more convenient or inconvenient. I don't know if they were able to kind of quantify that. But it is a factor. But we've got a solution here, and I'm getting to it. But the other component of the signage and this parking situation is to develop more assertive information campaign that's targeted right towards getting the word out on parking. And maybe even for the event promoters, you know, we could send that along and say, you know, you can pass this around for any of your vendors or anybody else need to know this. Here's a flyer, and you've got some information to help folks find these areas to work from. But one of the other exciting components of this that we're developed is the concept of adding another trolley route that runs from Tidelands Park to the Rock with 10-minute headways. And this way, we think folks would definitely make more effective use of those parking areas, because with a 10-minute headway, you could easily park there, and it would be a nice experience for the visitor to, just hop on and go to the Rock. You know, fairly soon we'll have a harbor walk experience that people will be able to enjoy. And, I think people might just like to go for the ride, and it just would go back and forth. We have a spare trolley now. One of the recommendations is that we would need to get another one, because this trolley that we have right now is the spare, and if something breaks down, we've got another one to fill it in. We would need to purchase another trolley, and what we're recommending, if everybody agrees with this, we're recommending that we apply for grant funding to get one of those. And then we maybe only use some of the in-lieu funds to match the grant to make our application more appealing in terms of the competition for those funds.
I'm sorry, go ahead, Dave.
If the trolley is billed as a park and ride, in a sense, park and then ride to the Rock, is that make it eligible for like APCD? Pollution reduction, air emission.
It might.
Credits.
I think that's a good idea.
I mean, park and ride lots, in a commuter sense, do. And this is a kind of it's a park and ride.
That's an interesting idea. We could look into that. It might, because I think it'll definitely save on people idling around looking for spaces when they could just go park and hop on the trolley. And I think it'd be a nice experience to go back and forth.
It seems that you've gotten a little bit more proactive since the last time I heard this presentation with regards to the trolley. I know that you kind of get excited about it, because I am too. Is there have you gotten some feeling that that could happen a little quicker than?
Yes. We get the authorization to apply for the grant, I think we have a good chance of getting the grant for another trolley. So I think it's, in the interim we could use the spare trolley and then wait and to see if we can get the grant to get the new trolley.
Because of the, and I'll throw this out, my little part of green, I guess, because of the idea that this trolley would be limited, I'm guessing, to the Embarcadero, from what I understand, for the most part.
Right.
Is it possible maybe to go electric with it, because you don't have a lot of hills, you don't have any hills to
perhaps
climb?
Perhaps.
Maybe, I mean, just...
I'd leave that one to Janine. But yeah, I think that's a good thing, and we may be able to do some APCD.
That's where the grants from the APCD may come in, because you're going with an alternatively powered vehicle as well as reducing the amount of vehicular traffic that would be in the city.
You know, the other thing, that Bruce, that I wanted to bring up, my company is actually renting one of the city's trolleys this weekend for our event, and we have done a lot of research on renting trolleys, and they're very expensive. And if in the off-season you guys wanted to start a side business where you rented the trolleys out, that certainly could be very lucrative and create another revenue stream for the city.
They're available for rent now, yeah.
Right.
It's just a matter of letting people know that they're available.
Exactly, letting them know they're available. And if you added a second one, I mean, I know we would be interested in two if we could get two. So, you know.
Maybe what we need is, we've talked in the past in this committee about the signage that's on the trolleys. Maybe one of the signs needs to be a sign from the trolley itself advertising. Look like we're having fun? Rent me. You know, want to have this kind of fun? Want the wind blowing through your hair? Rent me. Something like that.
Yeah, but
is this rental of the trolley something new?
No. We've been renting it for Bob, how long? I know, just because somebody asked me and I got the quote. And actually, I didn't think it was that expensive.
It's not. If you compare the rental of how much it costs in the city, which my partners probably don't want me to say this, it's a lot cheaper than the other trolley rental companies are.
Because there's mainly the driver, like, the gas, the vehicle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the other trolleys are mainly like the wine trolleys and stuff up in North County. So there is definitely an opportunity there.
If I could just add, I think that I like the idea of the parking map. I think that's something we could put on the website. You know, people could download that, you know, as the visitor's coming. I think also, you know, as far as the signage that.
The other thing that, before we move, I just made these notes to talk about a little later, but since we're interrupting your whole thing anyway, is there the funding for all of this? And part of that is maybe design. You've already designed the signage. We know that, and council has already approved the design. All that's left is for council to approve what goes on those signs.
Right.
And so, to that end, you're looking for maybe some kind of new idea logo to designate not only the parking areas themselves, but directions to those parking areas on the new signage program. The money that you would spend to do that design work, if you were to go, which is going to be my suggestion, that you talk to John, since his firm is a full service agency, you know, from marketing to design. That you might talk to him with regards to that, because I wouldn't imagine that our budget would allow for us to pay for, and there may be funds available as part of the program to pay somebody to come up with a design for the logo for that. So, you know, I would suggest that you talk to John, because not only does he know what we're doing here, generally speaking, promoting Morro Bay, but also he would be really up on the signage program in general, plus the idea of John would be the one that we would direct to get the map built and put up on the website.
That's a good point. We're, you know, the Parking in Lieu Fund is a good source of funds. The signage was actually funded through a grant program, and then it'd probably be a closer fit to source it out of in lieu funds and free up those other grant funds. And now that we have the Scenic Byways funds available, we'll have a little bit more credit going back into the Parking in Lieu Fund or the grant fund. So I think we'll have, we haven't received the money yet, but I think we'll have a credit to the program, and we could certainly use that money to offset some of these other costs.
Will the wheels really be put in motion after the June 24th council meeting? Is that when you're looking to be able to really move forward?
Well, what we expect there is, we've taken the program on the road, and then what our recommendations to council will be, we've gotten some very good feedback like this, to incorporate all of this into the program, then come back with a final document, and that will set the implementation program in action. And when they adopt the program and its policies, then it also lists the implementation program and sets in motion a work program to start to do these, just get the process of this document completed. And if we can get it earlier, wonderful. And then we've actually laid out about a 5-year implementation program, but the critical path is what do we do next year in terms of grant funding and signage, and then the following year. And there's we've listed a whole menu of options. But what we'd like to stress here is that some of these other things in later years, like diagonal parking, are problems that we hope to grow into, but we've just listed them as tools in the box that we could use, but it doesn't mean we're recommending that we start to restripe diagonal parking until we really have a parking problem in those areas. But we felt it was important to include them as tools in the box. So hopefully we'll come back to council with a document that'll say put all that in place, incorporate all these comments, and then we'd be off and running. And the next time you'd see us would be when we came back with the signage program.
Is there, even though we don't have necessarily signs posted, we do have in some places, but is there any reason why we couldn't have John just move forward with developing the public parking area map, and whether it's in writing, print at this point, but at least get something posted on the website? We talked about this, you know, latter part of last year.
I think it's a great idea. I mean, we know it's, I mean, yes, I think it's a great idea. And I think that there's no doubt the council will say, absolutely, you know, we want to make better use of these parking areas. So I don't think there's anything constraining us for that. I just don't have the authorization to start spending the money to do those kinds of things yet, though.
Right. Yeah.
The only other thing, if you recall, Neil came to us a long time ago with some different ideas about signage and, you know, kind of using different descriptive terms like, you know, historic old town, you know, kind of embellishing a little bit more on the words. So are you still looking for copy suggestions on the signs, or are these already pretty much done? Or?
Well, the look of the signs was approved by the council,
right.
But when we run the program back up, I want to get them to confirm that that's what their
right.
intent was.
Because I think there's a way to, you know, to even, and I know Neil had, you know, he had used some examples like, you know, exit Morro Bay Boulevard. Well, it was, you know, exit, I can't even recall, you know, historic, you know, Morro Bay. I mean, just descriptive terms that just
yes.
made it more appealing.
Yeah, when the points of interest. Where do we want to send them to?
Unfortunately, Neil's program is like out of existence, and only because I don't care. It's a start.
But I still need to get an encroachment permit, and we still need to go through the same folks we dealt with to get that. So I, you know.
Hey, another 2-3 years, we'll be there. I'm kidding.
But likewise, on the expanded trolley, which is on the board now, I think Ed was right. I mean, if when the time comes, you announce, for example, that you'd like to take a bid on an electric-powered trolley, that's where the advertorial to something like Sierra Magazine, Morro Bay Greens, its waterfront, with an electric park and ride, is now a reason for us to appear in their magazine. So upon such announcement that the city was even bidding on such a thing or proposing it might be the kind of content.
And I think, again, you could really have some fun on the website once, and I don't realize this is a ways off, but once you have the trolley, I mean, you could even do like a virtual tour ride. You could, again, have a downloadable schedule for the trolley, at least as far as what, you know, even though it's simplistic, of where it's going to take you. Because that's really having, and I have Santa Maria Transit as a client, and I know the biggest fear that people have in using any kind of rapid transit is that they're going to get lost or left. And so if you can give them an idea, you know, that this is where you're going to go, this is where you're going to end up, even again, if it's simplistic for us, it may not be for somebody who's out of town. I think that, and we could have fun with it. We can actually have, because trolleys are pretty fun. And, you know, you can, you know, utilize it that way, too.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. You know, with 10-minute headways, it's not that inconvenient. I
mean. Right.
And I think folks may just get off at the ROP and come back on the Harbor Walk or something. There's, you know, it could be a pretty nice experience.
I think if it becomes an attraction, just like, you know, with San Francisco, I mean, it's you know, it's another thing you do when you come to that town.
Except their trolley's really expensive to ride, and ours will be very reasonable.
Yeah. Well, and then, as I mentioned, the implementation plan. The further we get out, the more speculative some of these programs are. And it's kind of, you know, we spend more detail in the near years. You know, I think probably the most effective thing we could do is do the signage and the trolley and then take it from there on and then, you know, come back and revisit it. I would love to have a parking problem, but we don't really have one. But maybe perhaps when we work up and get ourselves into one, we can start to use some of these tools from the box to work at it when we grow into a problem. If that, hopefully we succeed and grow into a parking problem, that'd be a good thing to do.
Well, I commend you for doing it now, because I live in Pismo Beach.
And in 2008, which is really kind of the first year in operation and includes developing the parking logo design, amending the sign program to integrate the parking logo, and then all this public information. And there's a number of things on that front that we could look into. then we could, there are recommendations in here for delivery trucks. And that could be one of the other components we'd want to get into, because there may be some places to restripe where they could pull over out of the through lane and do their loading and unloading without stopping everything in the through lane. So we may have to get a grasp of that. We've all kind of been inconvenienced when we've had the delivery trucks, and then you go through the prospect of going around them and playing chicken with oncoming traffic. And so it's a safety concern, too. The police and fire chief both were concerned about that. This whole concept of getting at employee parking, the employees many times tend to park in some of the most some of the preferred spaces, and there may be a way to get a parking area for employees that's closer, that's safe to walk to during the evening hour. I mean, more safe. I mean, well lit and illuminated, and this is a place where it's close, and folks may know be more comfortable with it. That would free up some of the more ideally situated parking spaces. And, you know, we look at this whole concept of, you know, the parking turnover and the time limits. That brings up the question of parking enforcement. All those things could be looked at, and there can be some kind of a community discussion to getting at all of those things, because all of these things kind of work together. that, you know, we also laid out here the whole idea of getting at the in-lieu parking program, because all of these things gradually take down the requirements for parking, because we're easing up the problem and people aren't experiencing it. And, you know, this kind of gets at the whole question of in-lieu parking fees, and this can open the door for that discussion. We can have that. And these are a number of things. Whatever the council feels they'd like to move on first, we'd be happy to go for. I'm not going to get into the detail beyond that. There are some things that we need to use the on-street spaces that are available. Allow people to recognize that we can structure public-private partnerships where you may have, for example, a bank that's not in operation on the weekends and other uses that require parking, and that the weekend is their peak period, so that'd be a great relationship. And to allow folks to make use of that and recognize it in the planning process. And then there's also this idea of shared parking, you know, mixed uses, and, you know, where you've got, you know, one vehicle trip hits five or six different stores. They're not different trips each time. So all of those things get at the concept of reducing the parking requirements. We're in a prime coastal community. Parking is at a premium, and there may be better places to park a car, and, you know, right next to the ocean. We may want to use that to enjoy the views or have a business there or something. So I'm not going to get beyond that. When we get into some more of the optional programs, some of the feedback we heard is folks were concerned about diagonal parking. We understand that. We think it would be a few years off until we actually, till the need for doing other things in some of these areas was made more clear.
I did notice the trolley is 3 years away on that schedule.
Yes. So. We thought that because of the grant funding, we should allow for that. But since then, when I've talked to Janine, she said, you know, we really have the spare. And if we can conceivably use the spare even if we don't have the other trolley. With the understanding, though, that if one of the trolleys breaks down, we'll have to use it, and then that might affect our program that year. But, you know, if the council's comfortable with that, then maybe we can go for it. It's, mechanically, the vehicle's in good shape. So that's why we're telling you that we think we could move it up.
So early. New trolley is a 2010, but existing trolley is doable in the
next year.
Future. Okay.
Perhaps, but you know, we'll see. It may take longer to get an electric. I don't know. You know, we'll have to. That's a whole separate piece we'll look at. So that's the end of our presentation. As I indicated, we're going to go to the Planning Commission and the City Council next. Actually, in the Harbor Advisory Board, too, first Thursday in June. It's the first Thursday in June. The Planning Commission, the first Monday in June.
And I believe it was you that said that it is moving been approved, it is moving forward. Do you know when construction is actually planned on taking, roughly?
I think we're looking at September, after Labor Day.
Because I'm just wondering that once that does start, I just kind of, maybe between all of us, someone will remember to keep an eye out, because I think watching this progress, the construction of this, I think it's not only newsworthy, but, you know, but something that we can kind of build up to as this thing grows and progresses, because it's going to be spectacular, I think, for the visitors to Morro Bay. So,
yeah, we could, you know, there'll be a ribbon cutting, and then we could kind of keep people apprised. You know, there will be some inconvenience. We're going to start working at the Rock and come this way, so there will be some inconvenience due to the construction. We'll need to get the word out to folks to let them know how we can work together.
Well, if that timeline does actually take place, it's a great time of year to start it.
Yeah.
You know, so I think it'd be perfect, you know, rather than today.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
All right. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right, so we'll take that from our new business. That puts us back where we had been, which was we were about to move from the budget report to the advertising report, but I think we've gotten to the TOT numbers yet in the budget report,
right,
if I'm mistaken.
There's just, if I could, there's just three items under the budget report that I, one, I just wanted to make an announcement with regards to, just in looking over the TOT numbers we have through the month of March. In the month of March, we had showed a 22% increase over March of last year. And even our occupancy is up 5 points, and 5 points is huge in occupancy. So I'm hoping, and we look forward to a real good April. Our April ended really, really well, and personally, and I think I've heard that from several of the lodging places around town. So hopefully, and a lot of it has to do with these events, and so we're looking forward to, you know, next month. I'm kind of excited about looking at the numbers for April. And then the other thing was that I wanted to announce was Monday night the City Council approved the budget for next year, the city budget, which had included a $20,000 increase to the Promotions Committee's budget. So we've got a portion of that, and we also have the possibility, just clarify for us, we are 145% over budget on the web development part of our financial statement. And I'm kind of just wanting to make sure that the bottom line is that we're fine.
Yeah, I don't know why that would be. I'll have to go back and look, but I did my own, you know, the way I do an audit is I go up and add up all the bills, and I determine, you know, how much money's been spent for each category. And the only thing I can think of is that somehow that there's been another item put into that shouldn't be, because we have spent the money, I will tell you that. It's probably the first year that this year we have, and this is one reason why when we talked about the fireman's muster, that we don't have really much left, because we did the whole redesign of the website, but I have a feeling that that must be Ms. Keed.
Well, if you look, the budget amount for that was only $20,200 to begin with, where on your report you have, and again, I think there's a good explanation, but maybe you could just do that for the audience and the rest of the committee, including me, where we have a total amount on your page of $36,500 available.
Well, the LA Times website, that's $12,000, and that's not dealing with the website.
Okay, that's actually that's actually advertising.
Right.
Came out of the
advertising in the LA Times, buying the LA Times email, and art and production design is print.
Okay, so that's a good clarification right there. It reduces that to 24.5 right off the get-go.
Well, actually, it reduces it to 20 because the 45 is for print.
Oh.
And the 20 is for web maintenance and development.
Okay.
So basically, that could be done differently, but it's website advertising. But underneath that category is the web maintenance and development, which is a standalone budgeted item of $20,000.
Okay. So the fact that there's been this money of $29,355 that's been allocated or to that category, which puts us $9,000 over budget in that category, probably includes some of the billing or some of the money that was spent under your website advertising category. Is that possible?
Yes, it's got to be that, or it's, as we have different departments listed, that money's been charged against that budget related to the whole redesign. But no, I'm confident we're within that. I'll have to go back and look and see why that's been charged.
I suspect it's just misattributed to a wrong budget account.
Okay.
From an invoice somewhere.
But as I added up, our time and then outside vendor time to do the website, we were right on target with our audit, according to our invoices.
So it looks like to me that according to your numbers that we have about $1,000, $980 available.
And that's probably not going to be available in the sense that we're going to still continue to do things between now and the end of June. That's sort
that
of
that are billable that don't show up on this as far as
right,
pre-contractual arrangements or whatever.
Right. We're in the process of sending out a second pass at 50 packets going out for the PR for all the editorial. That's being done right now. And I was going to propose for the fireman's muster, and we could probably use some of this PR money for this purpose. It's not very expensive, but utilizing our database, which is over 5,000, maybe go ahead and do an email blast to our own email list about the fireman's muster. That might be a good way to try to get some coverage as well. And those people are not just necessarily local. I mean, they're all over.
Sure.
And that might be an inexpensive way, again, to send out an email blast about the fireman's muster to that email list.
Do you need some official direction from us to do that, or is that something you're just going to do?
If you want to give me the go-ahead, that would be fine.
Do we need to appropriate any money for that?
No, I think we have enough money still left with this remaining small balance to do that. It's not very expensive. It's just a matter of a little bit of design work and then sending out the email.
Well, it's something that needs to be done right away if we're going
right.
to do it, isn't it, because of the mm-hmm. timing of it? And then you have enough information, I believe.
I think the only thing that I'm lacking, I don't think I've seen the poster. If there is artwork, that would be good.
Yep.
Yeah, there is.
The poster's
I would need that because I can incorporate, utilizing the poster for the, to the content of the email.
I believe, are there some posters available at the chamber, Kevin?
Yeah, I've seen a few. I don't know if we have a stack, so to speak.
I think John needs one.
Yeah, we'll see.
If I actually emailed it to me, it'd be great. If whoever did the work can email it to me, that'd be good.
Yeah, I've been in contact with a few of them. I'll get him a copy.
Okay.
So do we need to make a motion to authorize John to use a amount of money from our remaining budget to do the fireman's muster e-blast? Is that Bob? Do we need a motion on that, or is it within the scope of what he's doing?
No, he's already got the financial authorization, so it would just be sort of a statement of preference, I guess, by the committee.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely.
Okay. So again, just as a recap of the.
When do we take a look at now that we know that Ed has told us that our budget is going to be approved for the coming year, when will you come to work with the blueprint for the coming
year? Well, that's probably something that the committee should probably discuss, because normally what we would do is we'll go through the funds that we have till the end of June, and then the new budget would actually, normally we, you know, in the old days, we didn't even really run anything till late fall or even in wintertime, but more and more it seems like we've been trying to get a jump on things and start even as early as August. So it's probably not premature to start to form a budget subcommittee and have that committee meet with me and give me a little time to come up with some thoughts. I have some ideas. Some will be the same. Others, you know, I'm thinking about possibly even calling it like a new enterprise fund where we would, you know, go after some non-traditional forms of advertising, like different internet type things. But what I normally would do is I would come to the budget subcommittee with some ideas and then get some direction from the budget subcommittee and then re-meet again, and then we bring that budget to the full committee for approval.
We had a budget subcommittee in the past. Do we still have a sitting budget subcommittee, or does that have to be re?
Well, it actually, it can't be standing.
Right.
It has to be ad hoc, but yes.
Yes. Who was on the budget subcommittee last besides?
I was, Ed was, and I'm trying to, was Ann on it?
So do we need to reform a budget subcommittee for this?
I think you should, and I think that they should meet in the next couple of weeks if they can, because this is, you know, the end of the year is fast approaching, and I know that, for example, that with just the Margarita Festival, if that comes to fruition, and I'm sure it is, and that is something that we're going to want to take a look at as quickly as we have information. So there are things on the books or on the calendar, I should say, that we want to start addressing, as you know, even like John said, sooner and sooner. So the quicker we can get a media plan out there and a marketing plan that we can go before council with for approval, then the better we can.
Let us.
You probably need to agendize the reforming or the forming of the budget committee and maybe put that on the next agenda.
Oh, let us do that then.
Pick people to do it. Yeah.
So you're saying that we can't form that ad hoc committee today?
It's not on your agenda.
And if anyone on the committee would like to start by emailing me any of your thoughts or ideas toward next year, you know, so I can incorporate that would be helpful as well. You know, your thoughts on things that worked and some things maybe that didn't work as much as we had hoped. I can weigh all that in into putting a plan together for
your
approval.
I'm wondering if maybe that sounds like we have the budget subcommittee working on one part of the plan, but the content part of it sounds to me like maybe that's a meeting of the public relations subcommittee. I don't know, to steer more in the direction of the
Well, I think what I would like to hear from the public relations subcommittee, and I actually, to be honest with you, it's more so I think even with Peter, because he can give you a good assessment of whether he thought that the money that was, you know, the $10,000 that was attributed to PR was helpful. I mean, I think I feel confident he'll say that, because what we've been able to do is be an added resource to get really the events. You know, that's really been, I think, what spearheaded the public relations part of this. But also the outreach that we do, like when we had outside air coastal living and some of the other things that we were able to net. So that might be, you know, for that. And then the website committee will probably need to meet, because there is a separate budget for that. So, you know, and talking about what our goals are going to be for next year for the website. You know, the good news is that we've got that full redesign done. Not to say that, you know, websites are never finished. They're always an ongoing process, but that's going to give us, you know, some additional funds to maybe do some really interesting things with the website. So I think your point is well taken, in that there's some subcommittees that are already formed that could get together and talk about what that particular, because there is a separate budget for PR, there is a separate budget for website.
Well, I can speak on behalf of a public relations subcommittee that I will get them together. And I think you're right that this maybe meeting should take place with Peter as well, and perhaps yourself. And so mm-hmm. Why don't we just we'll send out among the public relations subcommittee a notice that we should try and meet in the next two to three weeks on that. As for the web committee, well, we have members of the web committee present. We'll take it on your own to have a meeting then in the next week or next few weeks. Do you want to meet with John as well?
Yeah, I mean, I'll happy to be at any of those meetings. Whether you want to meet separately and come up with your thoughts and then meet with me to discuss those, that's fine. I don't mind being at the initial meeting either. It's really whatever, you know, you guys feel is productive.
All right, well, we'll just
but
leave that to the...
But this is kind of the time.
Next meeting, perhaps, is it possible for you to maybe... I know we had authorized media coverage of that Kite Festival and those events. Possible to throw together a little preview reel, so a few minutes of stuff, just so we can let the audience know what it is that we got or get for our advertising in that sense. And sure, it's going to be colorful and pretty because I saw people out there with cameras. And so.
So you mean the footage?
Yeah, a little sure. Colorful sample reel. And that almost the kind of thing that eventually is going to show up as a flash on the web or something along those lines to help advertise it.
Well, we have money budgeted to shoot it. I suppose... It wouldn't take great effort to just to show
some dailies, a little bit of footage. We see Bob Lloyd present.
Yes, good afternoon or good morning, I should say. I also have a ton of footage from the Morro Bay Parade and the Kite Festival with people saying Morro Bay, discover your better nature tagline all over the city. So and I also put together a little piece where I would like to show John, and I'm sorry I didn't bring it today, but there is some stock footage that we have for that Kite Festival.
Well, we could just agendize that for the next meeting, a presentation of the recently acquired video footage of the city's events.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
If I could, since we're on that subject, before we get to that subject, Bob, we need to, and John brought this up to me here a couple weeks ago, we need to take a look at John's contract because I'm thinking it's close to, that he's been on an extension.
Yeah, what I did is I wrote a letter of agreement that simply extended his contract so that we've got the same terms and conditions given that where we are in the year and everything. That it seemed,
and how long is that term for?
Another 2 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, great. Yeah. Great. Good.
And I didn't raise my price.
Did you know about that? Yeah. You didn't double your zero fee?
We Xeroxed his signature from another box and put it on the extension. It worked out very well. There was little discussion about it. Yeah.
Well, great. Well, thank you. Thank you. That's welcome news to have you still on board
with us.
Thank you. And thank you, Bob, for taking care of that.
Public relations, concluding the advertising report for now. Public relations subcommittee did not meet, but apparently now we'll have a reason to meet in this next month, so we will hopefully have something to report then.
Actually, I still have some stuff under mine. I was going to show you the website stats. Email newsletter signups, 55 new signups. And basically you can see the graph, and when you look at May, you need to keep in mind that that's only half of May, so it looks low, but it will be. I'm confident that we'll see this steady climb as we go into summer, which has been pretty consistent. But the good news is that we're up over last year by a considerable amount. On the second page, one thing that's interesting is that. Last month, the number one category was plan a trip, and this month was lodging and dining, which is good because we want people to be inquiring about staying here. We now have over 5,400 names in our email database, and I think that that's probably another thing that we'll talk about that I would like to discuss is how we utilize that even more now because that's a substantial number of people. So maybe we... target specific events and just know that when we have an event that we're going to 3 weeks out or whatever is appropriate, that's going to be part of that email blast. And I think that from a standpoint of the recipient, I think that that's what people look forward to getting. It's actually real news and it's inviting them to come. And it may even be in the form of an invitation that's specifically directed toward that database list. But again, we were able to incorporate the Kite Festival in our last blast along with the Jazz Festival. And so that's the I've got some copies here for everybody. Any questions on the website?
The email list that you refer to, mm-hmm. Is that where the people request on the web page?
Yes.
So when somebody sends in a website inquiry, which goes to the Chamber of Commerce, that doesn't get into your database?
No, they have to specifically, in on the page, you know, it says, yes, please sign me up for your newsletter. They have to specifically ask. We don't just automatically, you know, put them on. The reason we've done that is because then that becomes a really pure list. You know, they're not, they've asked to get information from us.
Last year or the year before, didn't you send, somehow we sent you the emails list that we had, or we had at the Chamber of Commerce for you to use for an email blast? I don't know how many we've got or what.
No, I don't think that ever happened.
But it should.
I think.
These are the ones that we mail information out to.
Right.
Or emailed information or something.
Right. Yeah, I think that would be a great way to do that. And there may be, I'll have to go back and look. I mean, maybe this 5,400, maybe there's some of those in there. I don't think that's the case, though. I think these are all names that have signed up over the years that want to be on the email list. And we have very few opting out because they actually, this software will automatically take them off the list if they say, I don't want to receive any more information. And legally, you have to do that because of the new spam laws. I just had one other thing. Again, it's another part of our PR outreach, and I'm not sure how this occurred. It may have been when Coastal Living was here doing the story several months ago, but I'll just bring this up.
I hear the pitter-patter of his little feet from inside the control room. No? Okay.
Is this the more current issue? A second issue?
Yes, this is this month.
Wow.
And it's an interesting category because it's called our favorite seafood dives. And if you'll go through, Bob, and just kind of show kind of what the section looks like. There's Maine. And so it's divided by geographic, by Mid-Atlantic, East Coast, Gulf of Mexico, the Bahamas. So we're in pretty good category. And then there's Southern California, and then I think the next page maybe, and there is Little Hut, Morro Bay, California. Wow. And the nice thing is that they actually used Morro Bay as the picture for that whole page, and gave it a really nice write-up. And even though the term dive, it's a complimentary one. It's where,
sure,
where the place has character, it's inexpensive, you know, there's value, and so I thought that was kind of fun, and I get that magazine at home. That's how I found it. I just was going through it and saw Morro Bay.
And that's the Coastal Living?
Yes, Coastal Living.
Wouldn't it be interesting to see and talk to the leagues to find out if they've had any impact on that little freebie there? That's substantial.
Oh, yeah.
What would that cost?
I would imagine that would probably cost about $10,000 to have an ad like that with a picture and everything. I think the full page is
the country means that the stuff is being read, and it's not just Southern California or so forth. That this
right, no, it's a national publication.
Is really getting.
In fact, that publication sort of struggled initially because it was really East Coast oriented, and I think that may be our advantage, and that they really truly want to be a national magazine, and they want to incorporate West Coast as well. So you start to see more and more West Coast. But when I first got it, it was mostly, Maine and the East Coast. And then it slowly, came out more and more on the West Coast and Gulf area. And that's all I had.
All right. Thank you, John. Then moving ahead, the Public Relations Subcommittee did not meet this past month, but we'll having to be meeting in this next month. And so we will report then. The website, folks.
We had a meeting of our new committee. First thing I want to point out is I passed out a letter that was received, or an email that was received at the Chamber of Commerce complimenting our webpage, which rare that you get compliments. Usually it's just the opposite. And we do get a lot of phone calls at the Chamber of Commerce complimenting our webpage, how easy it is, and all this and that. With that said, the committee met, and we have some suggestions and some questions. And the first question is about the homepage and what happens, how do we get things changed on the homepage, who does that, who decides what goes on the homepage, and when is it done? And one thing we noted is that the Jazz Festival is still listed on the homepage, even though, you know, it's over with. We felt it should have been removed by Wednesday, mm-hmm. But it's still there, or was of this morning. So we were just, what's the process to make changes on the homepage? We were under the impression there was something done once a week to advise Tom Jones as to what there was to be put on the homepage. We were wondering if that happens or what happened.
Well, I think it's sort of evolved to where the chamber was going to do it. I think Billy was going to be, you know, the person that made the changes. The Jazz Festival, I went to the website. I think it was last night, or, yeah, Wednesday, last night, saw that the Jazz Festival was still on there. I emailed my guy to take it off. Nobody else has. And I think that's probably as loose as it is right now. I don't know if anybody at the chamber is still doing that. Obviously, nobody did it this week, so.
There was a plan, I believe, a few months back. We talked about once a week the chamber contacting you with updated information, if there was some, or even if there wasn't any, just to make a contact with you and let you know, so you could have that information. But somebody should be responsible of talking to you each week,
right?
Updating information. I know I called your office, I guess it was 2 weeks ago, and the Kite Festival wasn't even on the page about 2 weeks before. And I think I talked to Keeley, and she talked to you, and it was changed.
Yeah, I can tell you that anytime we get the information, unless there's some reason for it, which doesn't happen very often unless my guy's out of town or something, and even from out of town, he can do it on his laptop. Mm. We change those that day. I know Ed had called and wanted the car show on in addition to the Kite Festival and the Jazz Festival, and that got done that day. But again, it's sort of garbage in, garbage out. You know, I need to have the information. I mean, the Jazz Festival, I'll just be honest with you. You know, I should have instructed him, reminded him on Monday, please take this off. But again, I don't know if anybody in the chamber is doing that anymore.
Yeah, there's no procedure set up as to who is authorized to put things on that?
Well, I think originally there was, and it was going to be Billy was going to be the chamber liaisons, and he was going to make those changes to the website. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe that is not happening now, or it's happening less because he's not a member of the committee anymore. But I think if we're going to, you know, move forward and have it be successful, then there should be, you know, an idea about who does what.
Yeah. We felt that we have a good web page. And it's like every web page, they have to be kept current to be of any value. And we were questioning that as well as the calendar page. What's the, you know, and I know you're not involved with that, but we need to have some type of procedure on the calendar page and all this and that.
Well, and I think just about, you know, and if there's going to be something placed on the home page, especially the home page, then, you know, I think I would recommend that the committee or the website, whoever has the authority, you know, that goes through us, because we can incorporate the same design. Because there's been a couple instances where something's been put on there and it's probably, you know, done out of speed. And
park isn't listed, and it comes up before the fireman's muster.
Well, I think what happened was this last time, and again, it's because there's so many events. At one point, we had the car show, the Kite Festival, the Jazz Festival. You know, I think this is sort of unique that we have, you know, that many things happening and that many things need to be removed. I mean, it's, but again, I think there should be some sort of procedure for that. The art is an ongoing event, right. And it's in the calendar of events. Mm-hmm. I think the homepage needs to be for events that, you know, have a start and end date. We could certainly put art back on there since we don't have any other events, you know, coming up till September. That wouldn't be a problem. But
well, I think that, if I may interrupt just a second, one of the things that's going on Memorial Day weekend is with the art, not only Art in the Park, but the Art Camp project. I mean, that thing's going to be huge. There's, you know, they've got, and it's as funny as it is, as hokey as it sounds, it's just incredible what they're going to do. They've got the 10 artists, 10 trash cans around town, new cans staggered everywhere. A lot of people have spent a lot of money, and these artists are going to go to work, and they're going to doll up these cans. They've made a map. They've got maps available to for the visitors to go and circulate around with the artists. I mean, it's kind of an event in its own that I think that might warrant, you know, putting up there. So.
Well, I think that originally what the public relations subcommittee was, at least from my selfish goal, was to that committee would give me what they, you know, things that are happening that they would know about that maybe I wouldn't know about that are happening in the town to promote. And that could certainly could be held true for the website as well. I see this as a, you know, because of the dynamics of things happening in the town and different people knowing about them, that it's a group effort. You know, and that because I can put anything on the website within probably, you know, a day's time. 24 hours it's up, but I have to have the information to do that. The Jazz Festival is not a good example of that. Obviously, that thing ended, you know, it should have been off of there, and I apologize for that. I did take care of it when I, you know, I need to go to the site almost every day to remind myself, too. But I think in the future, as far as what events go up there and what's happening, I still need some help, you know, whether it be from a representative at the chamber or a subcommittee or someone to give me that, like the, you know, the art can information or just suggestions, because all it takes is an email to me and I'll do it. You know, I'll get it done.
Interesting, the art can,
the cracks, but I've always thought that it ought to be somebody at the visitor center that is responsible for, you know, just taking a daily look at the website just to say, okay, because they're the ones that know when the tall ships are coming. They're the frontline people for the most part, unless it's something official with the city that we need, you know, we need to get in touch with Andrea about or something like that. But otherwise, it's almost everything that happens here ends up running through that visitor center. I mean, they're just the frontline folks. And I don't know if that's a discussion maybe Kevin could have with Peter and just say, you know, is it possible that we could just say this is one of our daily duties, you know, brush our teeth, look at the website, you know, and just make sure that you know, I mean, it's not going to be a daily change of something that's necessary, but, you know, and then a reminder, you know, to John when appropriate that, okay, Kite Festival's over, get it off the website, you know, and so it's not, so that John doesn't have to become responsible.
And that was the case with the Kite Festival. I mean, I, on Friday, knowing that the thing was going to end, I emailed my guy, don't forget to take that off. I mean, that's as simple as it takes to do it. Unfortunately, I should have done the same thing with the Jazz Festival. He put it on there, you know, I mean, but again, his responsibility is not necessarily to, you know, to monitor that.
It.
Although there are times when, you know, that's helpful too. It's really it's a group effort. You know, if we see something on there, and Ed's done it a couple of times to say, hey, how come the car, you know, let's get the car show on there. I mean, I can expedite it very quickly, and I think we've been pretty good at doing that. But again, just setting goals for next year, I mean, I think that can run better, and we're going to have the funds to really, and I agree with you, Bill. I mean, it's got to stay current, you know, mm-hmm. because people look at it, it's a reflection on, you know, then they think, they see one thing that's out of date, then they think the whole thing is, you know, doesn't have credibility. But I think that we're going to have the budget to be able to keep that thing changing quite a bit and adding things. And we might even have, you know, another page inside of that of what's happening in Morro Bay, you know, and we can, and they can go to that. I think this last time has just been unique that we've had one event right after another, you know, and we've been trying to get them all on the home page.
It's the same problem with the calendar, too. The calendar needs to be, somebody needs to keep calendar current. We were also wondering on the our city under Find Us, we have a map, and the map is so small we question the value. There used to be 2 or 3 years ago, and you know, and I like the idea of this trolley map or trolley information being put on, and maybe that would be some place to put it. But then
okay.
And then we wondered if you could look into having a weather, some type of weather on the page, either on the home page or someplace that would say, you know, today's weather is 65, wind out of the southwest. And it could be, you know, an ongoing thing. And I don't know if the Weather Bureau has something, you know, but we were wondering.
We have it, Bill, on our website. It's just this little, it's a little deal that just says current temperature.
Yeah, that's what.
And it's just a simple little like deal that.
That's exactly what we're talking about. 64.
Well, I think that should probably be where the, you know, that could be where the webcam is too. I mean, that's where I've seen a lot of the weather.
But it's
the
next.
Well, that's what we wondered. It could be on the webcam, but on also someplace. And I don't know if it should be on the homepage, although that would be, you know, the particular people from the valley when it's 110 and they're calling up and the first thing they see that it's 65 over here. Nice.
It's so unobtrusive. I mean, yeah, it's just right. on a flat screen. It's just about the whole thing only takes up about a size of a 50-cent piece or something. It's pretty easy to. We've got it on our contact us page, but.
Well, given the weather, you could just put a text 65 degrees.
Always.
And partly sunny.
Partly cloudy, 65 degrees, always.
And, then, and when it's foggy, we just switch the picture to Tahiti.
Yeah.
That's the end of my report, not unless one of the other two people on the committee have anything to say. Kathy, Ed?
I had one question, and that's regarding the calendar. We're into June now almost, and so 6 months have gone by. On the calendar, we're still showing January events for 2007, which takes up a lot of space. Mm-hmm. My question is, could we start a rolling calendar where January should show 2008 Bird Festival? If we have the date for the Bird Festival, it should be there for 2008, not 2007. So the months preceding the months we're in should have 2008, mm-hmm. and our month would start, our calendar would start with current events. So it would say June, July, August would all be 2007.
I think the easiest way to move forward is just to determine, you know, who's going to do what. I mean, they're all good ideas, and I agree with you, because when you get down to the middle of the year and you're scrolling through all the old stuff, you know, it's not the most effective. We are pretty much out of budget to do, you know, anymore. So, I mean, what we do now will have to go toward, you know, next year's
fund. You know, the things I'm suggesting can wait till July.
Technically, I'm just wondering in terms, because I know when we do our calendar for some other nonprofit groups I'm with, and it's a much probably simpler one than you have, but you have a start and a stop time, and given the day you put as the stop time, it automatically then deletes it because you've put in a parameter for the event, and once it, I guess, the computer no longer reads that it's May 12th or whatever it is, it automatically deletes the old events. I don't know if it's possible to write that bit of code into the software that you have a start and a stop time, and when it hits the stop time, it removes itself.
Well, I'm going to meet with Jeremy tomorrow. Part of that meeting was going to be just to talk about new ideas, because, you know, they have some services that they do as far as, you know, like podcasting. I mean, all these different things, and some of them may be a little beyond what, you know, right now what we want to do, but just some thoughts about the future of how we communicate. You know, I just bought my 12-year-old a cell phone, and I can't believe what that cell phone does. I mean, she can shoot movies. You know, I mean, that there's a new way that people are getting information, you know, and we need to be a part of that, because we need to get that younger group coming here as well. But I can ask him about, you know, the software that's available through Elements and see what, you know, if maybe there's some other things that could be done to kind of help us along, you know, that if there is something that's expired, maybe it goes away or something like that.
So they call it calendar sweeper or something like that, and it finds dates that no longer match the current date and deletes them.
Right.
I suggest that the website subcommittee get back together and have a meeting with the chamber and include John and discuss the very issues that you guys, you probably might have resolved some things if you had John and Peter or Peter representative there at the last meeting. But I think that's how it needs to happen, rather than have it happen here at our meeting. And then you could just bring your recommendations or back to us and could go from there.
Yeah, I think it would just be, it just makes sense. I mean, I'm willing and able to do all of it. But again, I think that there has to be, if we really want to truly update it with the most, you know, up-to-date information, there has to be some sort of a representative. I'd like to incorporate more video on the site, too. I mean, that would be another goal that I have, as we get this footage like when we have the kite festival for next year, now we're going to have footage. There's no reason why we couldn't have a little, not a whole DVD, but a little vignette where they just
flash
click
animation
on that. And, you know, there's a 15-second little snippet of what's going to take place. So I think that the more, again, it's when you say the future, I mean, it's almost here now, but, you know, video, I think that the days of just a static website are going to be gone within a few years, then it's all going to be video.
There's no debate here on that. Video is my middle name. All right, well, that with the we've had the website committee report. Then we move on. There's no unfinished business to new business, which was the review information from the Cool Cities webinar packet. I think that was a formalized thing, other than if anyone had reviewed it. And yes, that's the item, and had seen anything was particularly applicable to Morro Bay. We had discussed some of them. One that I guess we've seen acted on, and I had made a note last time on page 5, citizen engagement. Bangor, Michigan. Video of citizen testimonials keep committees council focused, particularly related to land use issues, whatever, but citizen testimonials got me thinking, and I think we heard here from Bob Lloyd and from John that at the next meeting we got tourist testimonials, if not citizen testimonials, and so I think that's one way an idea from here might find its way into our thing, and hopefully at the next meeting we'll get a chance to hear some of those testimonials. Another one I noted on page 7, and again, I guess the Jazz Festival results would sort of play into this third place factor. Live band, that was from Douglas, Michigan, live music on the Embarcadero. And I suppose in some ways that's what that was about, but that was a one-time event as opposed to an ongoing event. I know that discussions come up before. I heard Melody Demerit mention it once at one of those Rose's Landing business forums. And Ed, maybe you know, someone who's spending more time with the businessmen down on the Embarcadero. Have there been any mention or plans of live music, more places actually besides Otter Rock Cafe having live music?
There is a proposed, still in a smaller group right now, there's still this proposed waterfront marketing plan that's being worked on and developed.
He's in permits they apparently needed to have live music. I don't know what the rules are. I would like to check into that, because I don't know that it's necessarily become that we'll have like panhandler types with open guitar cases, as one sees on the New York City subway platforms on the Embarcadero. But how we could encourage that, if there's a way to get less formality to the structure for that, and I don't know if there are the laws involving bartenders and alcohol and music, how to move it from that commercial realm into the civic realm, where what is public performance as opposed to private performance.
I think all the businesses on the waterfront are subject to a coastal use permit, and as a result of that, they may have conditions on those businesses that wouldn't generally be applicable in an area, say, zoned by right for a restaurant or something. I don't know the answer the answer to that, but what the barriers were. I don't think there's any licensing, for instance, for musicians per se, although if you want to become a professional strolling minstrel in Morro Bay, I would assume like anything else, if you're going to make money at it, you would need to get a business license. Other than that, I don't know.
In talking to a couple of times and talking to Rick Algert, the director of our harbor department, he didn't mention anything that would be a specific deterrent to being able to place live entertainment at, you know, say the street end of harbor, whatever, one of the street ends on the waterfront,
or the area where the chessboard is,
or nothing else is going on right there.
So
he didn't say, yeah, go for it. He was just when we were talking about was there any big barriers, and he didn't think there were.
Well, these one-time events, I know, get a special events permit that sort of catalogs all the ingredients that you need, whether it's security or extra bathrooms or whatever it is. And so that's going on. But with some sort of ongoing program, it would be, if it's in a specific location, it would be some sort of use, I guess, and it might be subject to use review based on the zoning of the property or something. I don't know.
I guess, yeah, because the only thing I have to compare that to is, like, if you walk down Main Street, there is music sometimes inside too. Well, okay, is that the coffee shop mystique? But no, I was just wondering, I mean, that kind of informal thing, and we I know maybe there's not a method to encourage it formally, but maybe there may be people who don't do it now because they believe there's something in place that is preventing it or discouraging it.
There, Ed, you might remember this. There's some kind of special program that went on about the use of the sidewalks in the uptown area, in the old town area there, where they had to do with the planters and some furnishings, benches, and that sort of thing on the sidewalk years ago that this may be a part of. And I don't think that program went on down on the Embarcadero, but whether it has anything at all to do with this issue, I don't know.
Yeah, and I it's kind of interesting because I know that they're, all of a sudden, they're like the sandwich boards. They came, they went, they came, they went, yeah. And now they're back. And they have, and I think they were allowed to be used on Uptown because that's who specifically asked for it. But you see them more and more now showing up on the Embarcadero and other streets besides besides this Main and Morro Bay Boulevard. But I don't think that the entertainment part of that was ever, I don't think that's, I don't remember seeing that in writing in any of that. So
I don't either.
Oh, we'll see what happens. I'm just saying summer is coming, and if the weather's fair, it would be interesting to see if people weren't discouraged from actually creating that same kind of musical ambience on the Embarcadero that you now have on Main Street in front of the coffee shops. Just a thought to see if that plays out.
Sure.
And then the only thing I noticed on page 16 was about cultural efforts for success themes. And I again got an email, and I still haven't seen the person showing up yet, to discuss the whole fish thing for Morro Bay as a cultural thing. And maybe, John, this is something we look into in the next year's budget if we think of, like, well, what will be our theme? Do we have a theme for some new promotional gimmick? And maybe it would be, in this case, the fish thing, because we were hearing that the fishing community needs that sort of shot in the arm one way or another, and there's going to be issues involving that. That we also heard from the roundtable we attended that the culinary destination travel is something, and they come for the wine already, but you can't just drink the wine on an empty stomach. You've got to have some fish. So there may be, to piggyback that there was, they didn't call it culinary tourism. They had a word. What was it called again?
Well, they did a deal last week at the Carlton Hotel, and I know that Stan Trapp from Marina Square and Windows on the Water, they had,
when you see the central, the way we made it into coastal living there, which was about the fish, there might be a way to link the two. So maybe making a theme for next year that involves, seafood lover's paradise that is Morro Bay or something to that. I say, if only one of the boats could land that giant squid that everyone talks about. I mean, they got that one, but just hauling the thing out at the rock and having it there would be...
I think Loch Ness would be more impressive, wouldn't you?
I don't know, a giant squid. I could hardly imagine a calamari so big it could eat you. Yes, with a giant beak and all that, I just think that would be they'd be coming. I mean, people would be parking lot.
They're mean, too.
They're mean, too, yeah. Yeah, no, this is there's something exciting about that. All right, well, anyone else, any ideas? Again, why don't we just, I would say, as a new business, it's just a document, much like, remember, the old conversion study. It's one of those things to look at and refer to, and as people have thoughts to bring them up. We had a presentation from the master plan with the Promoting a Photographer Festival. That was one that came up last time. Any further discussion?
Do we need to agendize authorization for John to proceed with developing the map locating the public parking areas within the city of Morro Bay?
Well, if you're going to give him money to do something that he doesn't have money to do with now. I mean, if you're just advising him how to occupy his day, that's kind of one thing. But if you're providing him additional money to do something that he wouldn't otherwise be doing, Then I think you need a motion, yeah.
Which means we would want to have to agendize that. Is that what you're saying, in order to do that?
Well, the reason I didn't mention that last time is because I assumed that what you're really talking about is affecting what the content of your spending plan for next year would be, right? And you're in a process already to develop what that is, so I would assume that that element would just become a part of it and be incorporated.
Changing that map was just a suggestion that the committee had, among many others, to enhance the website. Yeah.
That's a different map.
That's the
You're talking about
of
the
city, directional map?
The directional map. I'm talking
the
about
parking
the public parking within the city. That's been, and I had asked John, I said, what would it take to add a page to the website showing directions to the public parking lots, you know, public parking places in Morro Bay? And John at the time, and I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, but he said, well, it's not that big a deal.
Put it in for, you know, as an agenda item, and because by the next meeting we'll be talking about, we'll already be in next year.
But we won't yet have a budget committee, although if we do decide, like we've kind of talked about the ArtCam project, last month we approved looking at putting $1,000 towards getting a can for next fiscal year, in the next fiscal year. So there are some things that we have committed to add to our budget for next year.
Right.
And so I just want to make sure that this doesn't slip through the cracks and that we can agendize discussion of this for next month, and then we could make a motion next month to authorize that to be incorporated if the committee chooses into next year's budget.
So you want an item about the parking item on the website?
Parking
as a new item.
City public parking map on the website.
Public parking.
But I definitely think that's something that we could incorporate into our budget, because I don't believe it would be, and maybe you could just say, hey, here's how much it would cost, so that we can make that decision, and then we could pull that out of the city's needs to get it from some other source, and then we'd have control over what it looked like, which we should have anyway. So,
okay. Are you going to still talk about the photography?
Let's see.
Okay. The only, I know that was something that I had brought up. It was actually Phil May had brought it up, who does work with me and also is a citizen of Morro Bay. And, I was thinking, as far as moving forward on it, maybe what I could do is by next meeting come with an outline, just kind of what we were kind of thinking, and then maybe form some sort of a committee, whether it be, maybe one person from this group goes and works with the photographers. I'm not sure how we would do that. I was sort of envisioning it being kind of similar to the Bird Festival, in that there would be opportunities for, seminars that could be conducted by our own local photographers here. And again, probably what I'd do is go and look at, how some have done them in the past. I know Bob pulled up a couple right off the bat just by Googling, some photography festivals. But, there may be like a, amateur contest. There could be a professional contest. I mean, there's just a lot of different ideas. But probably at some point fairly soon would be to get some of our photographers who are in our city, both working and retired, that might want to be a part of it.
You're going to pursue this, and that's Dean Sullivan, who may be very interested in doing something, being that his involvement with flying over the kite festival and the photography that he got. It sounds like he's kind of really into that, and he might be a really good person to talk to
maybe you could email me his number and I can give him a call.
Sure, like I have it, but that's okay.
He has
I can
a studio
that.
In Los
Osos. Oh, okay.
Dean Solins, I believe he still has.
Okay.
Do you know Dean from the Bay News, when he used to have the Bay News?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know him well, but I mean,
he's a good guy.
I know, yeah. Yeah, I've spoke with him before. Yeah, I think that's what it takes. It takes somebody to have some passion for this. I mean, I'll certainly help too, and maybe I can get Phil to help. Phil on the film side of it, would be a good resource as well.
Well, and our mayor might be interested in being involved and helping in that capacity too, being that she's. That's
and maybe
one of
David
her.
Would be an appropriate one from our committee to be on that too.
And I'm thinking too, if it is going to parallel the Bird Festival, it's not just the Morro Bay city limits, because just like the Bird Festival, a 3-day event, you do walk in the marsh and the estuary. Then there's a morning trip to the Carrizo, which is equally a photogenic place. They do north towards San Simeon and Cayucos. They go south to Montanador. So Morro Bay, I don't know if the intent was just to limit it geographically to Morro Bay, but just make this a hub, and you have a general Central Coast sort of photography, the sort of quote the great Central Coast photography shootout, you know, and everyone.
I think as
there.
Long as they spend all of their money here and they stay here, then it's fine.
Well, and that's pretty much how
they're
the
just
bird
not allowed
festival,
to stay anywhere else.
Yeah, and that's pretty much how the bird festival seems to work.
No,
as well.
I'm kidding. No, I think that again to limit them only to shooting, you know, here would because of the abundance of scenes would just be, you know, wouldn't be worthwhile, but. But pretty close by, you know, with Montana de Oro and all of the different things. And then the wildlife aspect, you know, I mean, there's a whole different, you know, photography for that, which we could, you know, we could also offer. So I think because of the people we have already here that would be able to, you know, lead professional seminars, and then because of the location we have, it just makes sense that, you know, that we would have something like this.
The other fellow in Los Osos, was named George Lepp, is that it? I think he's also a pretty well-acknowledged guy who gives workshops and
well,
classes.
Unfortunately for Dale, he moved to Paso Robles. Fortunately for...
How the industry's changed through the Internet, I mean, could be another thing. I know being able to buy a photo with Corbis, you know, versus having a photo shoot, I mean, that's got to change the world.
Well, if anybody's watching today that might be interested in getting involved with this, you know, possible new event, who would be the best person talking out loud here to contact? I mean, could they contact you, John?
Sure.
Or so and your phone number is 541-6020. So anybody that's interested in maybe getting involved with this new photography festival or something like that, and with a lack of another name.
I think what I'll do, too, is if
call
if,
John.
If the committee wishes, maybe I'll have Phil come, since it really was kind of his idea, and he could come next meeting, and we'll have that little outline, and then we could kind of brainstorm, so maybe we could have it on the agenda again and do a little research in between that time.
And maybe Phil ends up being the chair. Might be right up his alley.
You never know.
Never know.
All right. We'll look for. Then we have that Bob agendized the presentation with the film. Okay. Update on the current events. That was something I threw on because I had wanted to sort of do hear feedback on the what was a very busy month for us. But that all really came out in the first from we got to it right there without having to agendize it in the beginning. Unless there are any remaining critique, comment, roundup on. I know we began with my attempt at some raw slam poetry, but. Notwithstanding the other, a real famous poet, T.S. Eliot, who I think one of his famous poems began, April is the cruelest month. Remember that one? Not here in Morro Bay, apparently. So, again, his poetry notwithstanding, anyone have any other roundup on the events of this past month?
I think they were wonderful. I think they were great for the town. I got a lot of positive feedback. We had people, certainly from the Valley, but a lot of people from up north, from San Jose, San Francisco area, a lot from L.A. People are coming to Morro Bay because it's one of the last small towns on the coast. And they love that homey, small town, friendly, fun, family atmosphere. I got it over and over and over again from all sorts of people of all ages. Just really loving the community. So I think we're doing a good job of being who we are. And it was terrific. I think the town's doing a good job. And to keep promoting it, again, you know, that discover your better nature, but also back to the roots, back to that hometown feel. Very good thing.
The second time I've heard a similar comment from someone else saying that the thing that people enjoyed about it was that it was kind of funky, that it wasn't super dressed up, that it was casually affordable. I think they used the word cheap, but compared to other potential coastal destinations, John.
Well, I was just going to say I think that it was brought up earlier that it would be important for the key events that we have that we start establishing a set date for them. So people do, you know, like with, again, I mentioned the Avila Blues Festival, you know that that's Memorial Day weekend. So everybody, you know, tends to put that on their calendar. And like the CBX or KCBX Wine Festival, that's at a certain time. So what happens is eventually, and events take some, you know, they take a few years to develop, but then people, especially out of the area, you know, they already will put that on their calendar because they had a great time. And I just want to say, and I told Peter this over the phone a few weeks ago, that, you know, it's really easy to come up with ideas for events. It's one thing to carry them out. And again, his staff as well, they're really difficult, and they're very time-consuming, and they can be really frustrating. And I really commend, you know, Peter for really embracing that and staying motivated and positive, because, you know, he called me a few times out of desperation, you know, how can we get this, you know, we got to get this word out, you know, how can we do it? And I tried to help him as best I could. I think the Kite Festival was probably our most successful, just because we had the Tribune behind us. And again, just as we go forward, getting those media partners, and those take a year in advance, you know, to get, say, KSBY to be a part of the Jazz Festival. And not only do we get free spots, but they get, you know, they'll come and they'll promote it on the news. Those are the kinds of things that take you over the top. I mean, that's the difference between 200 sales and 800 sales. And again, the frustrating thing is it takes time. I mean, and so everybody just needs to hang in there and keep trying, and eventually these events will become huge, just like with the Bird Festival. And I know that, you know, down a little bit last year, but people know about that because it's at a certain time. And, you know, and I think this photography festival, maybe the first year we do it, it may not be, you know, hugely attended, but I bet you in 5 years or 3 years it becomes something that, you know, people put on there, because I know he really worked hard. I'm not surprised that he took a vacation and slept till 11:30.
Any discussion of any other new ideas? We seem to have had plenty today, but anyone else? All right, the future agenda items, aside from the ones that Bob's already noted here.
All right. I have.
You have, okay.
I've noted the ones that were noted.
All right.
So noted.
Is there any new ones?
So noted.
New ones? No. Right. Well, then we look to adjourn today's meeting and be back again next month. Thank you all very much.
Bob, I hear Janice say at the council meeting, she goes, okay, we're out of here. So
time.
We don't really.
Tell some discussion. I just want to get your thinking on.
I may have.